Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, John Gullitz on his evangelistic tattoo ministry.
And again, she told us all of that history about herself in just 5-10 minutes because we complimented her tattoos and said, is there a story behind that?
John Gullitz, next. It seems nearly everywhere you go, people have tattoos. Anglican minister Reverend John Gullitz says a person's tattoo can be an entrance to a deep conversation. Reverend Gullitz, it does seem like tattoos are everywhere. How common are they really?
The man that I work with, Al Dayhoff, he estimates that it's over 40% now of the population in the United States has at least one tattoo.
40%? How about yourself?
One.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you would, tell us the story of how you first discovered people's tattoos and that they're often an avenue for sharing the gospel.
Sure. Well, I actually was drawn to a young lady working in a coffee shop when I was planting a church many years ago in Johnson City, Tennessee, and I noticed that on her wrists, she had many tattoos, but the one on her wrist was curious to me because it was in Hebrew, and it was the Hebrew word hesed, you know, or loving kindness. And so I told her I really liked it, and she was thrilled that there was somebody there who could read it and knew what it was. And so that sort of sparked my interest. But then just a few years ago, I was presented with the opportunity to know that Al Dayhoff had written a book, which was originally titled God and Tattoos, Why Are People Writing on Themselves? And since then, it's been updated and edited and re-released with the title Tattoos, Telling the Secrets of the Soul. And so as I was starting to plant All Souls Church in Concord a couple of years ago, I am a lifelong learner, always wanting to be involved in some way of continuing education. And so I remembered Al Dayhoff, and I remembered his work with Evangelize Today and reached out to him and had a conversation and began a residency in evangelism with Al and learned his story, which is that he was a traditional pastor in a traditional evangelical church for over 20 years, and eventually felt led of God into the wild, as he would say, which is off of religious real estate, and to really live among unbelievers. And in doing that, one day he asked a woman about her tattoos, and he said, for the next 90 minutes, she told me all of her secrets and bared her soul. And he's taught me just what a mind change that was for him. He said, you know, when I saw a tattoo before that, all I could ever think of was, do I agree with that or not? Do I like it or not? And the question he thought to ask that day was, is there a story behind that? And that's what led him into the last 10 plus years of doing over 10,000 tattoo interviews, 7 different countries, and just being continually amazed at people's willingness, eagerness to open up and share the deep parts of their lives with us if we'll ask.
So that's interesting for many, and maybe it goes largely, you find this perception in the older generation that tattoos are maybe a sign of rebellion, for lack of a better word, but you disagree with that. You're saying, no, they're telling you something about themselves.
Right. I think sometimes it can be, of course, rebellion, and you find the stories are as varied as the people. But I would say increasingly, and I've talked to people who are my age or older, you know, in their 50s or older, who have tattoos, and they say when they first started getting them, there was a stigma against it, and they were passed over for job opportunities because they had tattoos. And they've sort of seen the culture change in their acceptance of tattoos. And so now, most of the time, it is not firstly about rebellion. It is more, again, about story. It's about a person either memorializing loved ones and family or giving representation to grief, pain, abuse, journey. Really, the stories are endless.
Well, my guest today on His People is Reverend John Gullett, and we're talking about tattoo ministry, really. And he pointed to Al Dayhoff, who wrote a book about it. And I think he calls himself the tattoo story hunter, something to that effect.
That's right. You can find Al on all different kinds of social media. His videos on TikTok, you know, have amassed millions of views, and he continues to add them almost every day.
So tattoos are personal, as you're saying, Reverend Gullett, personal. And yet, a lot of times when we think of personal, we think of private. But you're saying, to the contrary, you're saying they're typically happy to be asked about the tattoos and tell you the story?
Absolutely, in my experience. Although, you know, initially, you know, Al has said this and I've experienced it, that when you first think about asking someone about a tattoo, this tattoo in some ways puts a hand out and says, get away from me. But the other hand is beckoning forward and saying, please ask me about it. And so you sort of have to get past that initial sense of being put off to ask. And when you do, I've seen people's countenance just so completely change from wondering, why in the world is this priest asking me a question? Why are they interacting with me? I've been purposely trying to avoid him, and why has he come after me? And when I ask, when I compliment their tattoos and say, I really like that, it's really beautiful, could you tell me about it? The countenance completely changes. And I've found that it's a way to have deeply intimate conversations with strangers almost immediately.
Hmm.
And before, when I didn't think to ask about tattoos, I would have told you, I don't think that's really possible anymore in the 21st century in America. People don't want to open up like that. But I'm finding, I think they do, if we can see them and ask good questions.
Well, you've told us a story about the young lady or the lady at the coffee shop earlier. Can you share maybe another story or two?
Well, sure. So when I first started a year ago with Al, my family was out at a restaurant, and I was even sharing with my wife, Jenny, about what I was learning. And this has been duplicated now many, many times in the last year. And she was saying, well, how do you just ask people? How do you do this? And so I noticed that our server had tattoos. And so I thought, well, I'll just show you right now. So I asked our server about her tattoos. And she just lit up. She was more than happy to start talking to us and tell us. And we noticed one in particular on her neck was a large one. And had the letter K and the number 6. And so we asked her about that, and she said it was in reference to a boyfriend. His name started with the letter K, and then the number 6, she said, was that I had his 6. You know, I had his back. And she said that means I knew him. I could see him. But she was referring to him in past tense. And so and yet the whole time she's talking to us, she's fingering a cross on her neck. And so when we asked a little more about it, I said, it seems like you're referring to him in the past tense. Did something happen? And she said, yes, he was involved in a triple murder suicide. And she said, we were involved in some bad things. Turns out she was there. She's the only person that lived from that scene. Everybody else in the apartment was killed. And because it had to do with drugs, she was arrested. And so now we're really fascinated, right?
Yeah.
you live through this, and here you are, this happy, smiling, joyful person fingering a cross on your neck, right? And so my wife had, Jenny had the idea of asking, how did you get from here, from your neck, to here, this cross over your heart? And she said, oh, I want to tell you, you know, I need to go take care of this other table. I'll be right back. Don't leave. I'll be right back. And she came back and said that the judge gave her a choice of treatment options. And one of the choices was Catholic Charities. And she said the nuns there introduced me to God and told me about Jesus. And she said, I've been sober for 3 years, and it turned my life around. And again, she told us all of that history about herself in just 5-10 minutes, because we complimented her tattoos and said, is there a story behind that?
And you have obviously, that's been repeated numerous times.
Yeah, almost every day that I'm out in public, they're, once you start noticing them, they're everywhere. And oftentimes servers, oftentimes in different kinds of service industry or in stores or shops or anywhere you interact with the public, you can usually see them. And oftentimes you'll notice, like, people, when you compliment them, they touch them, they rub them. So again, it's communicating. These are deeply personal, real. Even if they say, oh, there's no meaning behind it, they're touching it. You know, the and if we're patient, oftentimes, you know, the story comes out. And so what Alice said in the research, and I now completely agree with him, having done the research myself in the past year, he says that so many times a tattoo is a confession, search of a confessor, and we don't have any. So we write on ourselves. And he means not necessarily wanting to confess a sin, but the confession of who we are. And we're so desperate for someone to see who we really are and be curious about that and interested in it. And we want to share who we really are. And we're looking for someone who can see that and hold that story, because it gives us value. It gives us dignity. We feel known in a deeper way. And I even share that when I ask about tattoos, and I'll ask someone about their tattoo, and they start telling me about it, and then I'll tell them I'm doing research, which fascinates them, and they're kind of excited to be a part of it, you know. And I usually take a picture of the person with the tattoo, and then I say, you get a picture of me too, and I get a picture of them with me, and I tell them often, you know, we think a tattoo might be a confession in search of a confessor, because we so want to be known. And pretty much everyone has agreed with that statement. And they say, absolutely, that's exactly right.
Now, do many, I know you have a thought to, if the Lord opens the door to share with them the good news, does that happen often? How does it happen as you talk about someone's tattoo?
Well, in lots of different ways, because there are a lot of religious tattoos, and a lot of people who would tell you they're not religious will have a cross, will have some other Christian symbol, will have a saying, and they may not even know what it means. It's there because of their grandmother. It's there because of a sister or a brother. And so that can be the way that we talk about it. Or they ask about mine, which is a phoenix rising from the flames. And when they ask me, you know, because they like to say, oh, so I see you have a tattoo. What's the story behind yours? And I say, well, it's about life after death. It's about resurrection. Mm-hmm. I believe in resurrection. And that gives me the opportunity to talk about what I believe. So the stories often lead you to the gospel, in a sense. And Al will often say that if we listen long enough, the unbeliever will actually tell us how they want to be evangelized. If we're curious enough and patient enough, they'll eventually say, oh, I used to go to church, but this happened, and that's why I don't go. Or, you know, I saw this happen in my family. Or I prayed to God, and these bad things happened. And so, you know, and that gives us the opportunity to respond and tell people how much God loves them.
Have you ever had anybody not want to talk about it?
Sometimes, again, initially, they're often very skeptical or hesitant, but rarely. There was one young couple that both had tattoos. She was the one I really saw, because she had a lot of them. And I went up to talk to them, and Again, I had a clerical collar on because I was working that day, and she seemed really uncomfortable. And she told me a little bit about her tattoos, but she was pretty skittish. But her boyfriend opened up, talked all about it, wanted to ask more questions, and we had a good conversation. So, yeah, sometimes – and it's really – there may not be time, especially if you're talking to people who are at work. You know, it may be only a passing time when you get to say, I just wanted to say I like that.
So that could be your initial comment. I'm just wondering, do you say, I like your tattoo, or do you mind if I ask you? I mean, you just
basically. Yeah, I like your ink. I really like your tattoos. That's really beautiful. And again, for me as a pastor who, you know, is laying claim to a community, trying to establish a new church, I just think the people that I interact with tattoos, especially when they're at work in the community, they're my parish. They're my people. And so I go back to say hi to them. I go back to check on them. And so even if it initially is just, oh, I like your tattoos, and they don't have time, I don't have time for any other conversation, when I go back, they remember.
Do you use this approach in your own church? I mean, in a way to get to know the people that come to All Souls Anglican in Concord?
Sure. Yes, because we have, you know, people in the church who have tattoos. But another way is also that when I'm with them, when I'm with people in my church out in public, I ask people about their tattoos with them beside me, which is a way of teaching them, you know, because when I talk about it, it can seem, okay, that still just sounds weird. How does it not feel weird? Mm-hmm. And so I just do it with them, you know, and with them beside me, and engage them in it as well. And they really love it. You know, that really, in a sense, sets them free to feel like, oh, I could do that.
Well, my guest today, Reverend John Gullett, and we're talking about his tattoo ministry. He is an Anglican priest, and he currently leads All Souls Anglican Church in Concord, North Carolina. And you have something called a residency in evangelism and tattoo research. I think you alluded to it earlier, but tell us about that. That's probably the first time a lot of us have heard something like that.
Yes. So the organization is called Evangelize Today, evangelizetoday.com. And again, Al Dayhoff is the executive director. And Al is, you know, available to speak in church. He preaches all over the country. He speaks at conferences on evangelism and things like that. He's published quite a number of books now. But one other aspect of the ministry of Evangelize Today is to do evangelism residencies with pastors. And so there are pastors like me who join the residency, and we get coaching twice a month. And he really helps us understand the work that he has done and the research he's doing, and helps us find our own way to engage in that in our own context, so that we learn, you know, can you see them? Can you compliment them? Can you ask, is there a story behind it? And then he has, you know, a 5-question survey about spiritual things that leads to the gospel that we learn. And he really walks pastors step by step in an incredibly encouraging way, and finds that most of the people who do residencies with him, you know, we all end up trying to say, well, how can I find more hours in my day and more hours in my week to be out in the wild with unbelievers so that I can talk with them about Jesus?
And you mentioned being out in the wild, and I can't help but to ask you, you hosted a conference a few months ago called Mapping the Wilderness, an evangelism conference. Tell us about that and how that might connect to tattoo ministry.
Right. So that was a conference where we had Al Dayhoff come. He was our speaker. And it was people from our church and other Christians in the community coming to learn, again, about this work of tattoo research, to hear stories that Al can share about his own work. And then one of the things we did was to invite some of my friends that I've met in the community who have tattoos to invite them in, and we interviewed them in front of the people who came to the conference so they could really see how it's done. There was also a simultaneous event at Independence Harley-Davidson in Charlotte, and so we did a Zoom call, you know, into the folks who were at the motorcycle events, asking people about their tattoos, and those were people who had been trained already by Al. So it was a really wonderful time of not just talking about what this is, but what does it really look like to do it? How do we do it? How does it become natural to us to engage with unbelievers in this way?
So certainly to go to a motorcycle event like that, you would have a tremendous amount of opportunities to talk to people about their tattoos.
That's right. And Al has been discovering that there's some connection between motorcycles and tattoos that, that probably is older than the increasing popularity of it. It would be my guess.
What's the connection? What connection is that?
We're still exploring it.
Okay.
You know, it may be that sense of people who are drawn to motorcycling, you know, want a sense of freedom, again, sort of taking charge of their own lives in ways that are a little different than other folks, perhaps. But they're certainly everywhere. Walk into any motorcycle dealership, and usually all the staff is covered in tattoos. The mechanics are covered in tattoos. It's as we say, a target-rich environment, you know, to do that research.
Well, can you give us some encouragement, some motivation maybe to, I mean, it doesn't sound as daunting. I've done a number of discussions about evangelism, and people are always typically shy to share their right. faith, but this is a little different. And
sure. Yeah, my encouragement would be give it a try. Just, can you see them? Can you compliment them? I like that. That's beautiful. Can you ask? Is there a story behind it? And in our minds, in our hearts, it's shifting from listening to respond. Because so often we're taught, and well-meaning, you know, well-meaning teaching has taught us that when we're talking to an unbeliever, we need to be listening to sort of their view of the world and thinking, how mm-hmm. are we going to share with the gospel? How are we going to respond to them? And oftentimes that means we don't hear them as clearly. So can we change to listening to hear, really listening to hear people and honor them by giving them our full attention to hear their story? And the other part of it is the church, for me, as someone who went to seminary and has been in ministry, I was taught what to say in evangelism. I wasn't taught as effectively just how to engage the unbeliever relationally in a way that says, I'm interested in you. You look like a fascinating person. I'd love to know more about you. And that posture, especially when they get it from people who they end up finding out are Christians, is often disarming because sadly they're not expecting that from Christians if they're not Christians already.
It sounds like what you're talking about a bit is, so often I think evangelism is more of an intellectual exercise, or you're trying to maybe answer objections. But it sounds like you're talking more about speaking to someone's heart.
That's right. Yeah, and hearing their heart. If we think about my wife Jenny, you know, often likes to point this out, that the first question in the Bible is God saying, "Where are you?" Mm. And so many times we have the opportunity, I think, with unbelievers, to let them know that God is still calling out that question to them, saying, "Where are you?" And so that calling to their hearts and saying, "I see you. I'd love to know your story. What's brought you to this place and this time?" Because we are those who believe, right, that it's not accidental.
Right.
We're having this conversation on this day because there is a living God who longs for more men, women, and children to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that matters. And that changes the way we can interact with people. We know that these are divine appointments. And so, you know, the pressure's off and we can relax and really seek to look at, to see and honor the image of God in every person we come across.
Well, my guest has been Reverend John Gullett. He currently leads All Souls Anglican Church in Concord, North Carolina. He's an Anglican priest. We've been talking about tattoo ministry, quite fascinating. And obviously, as you were mentioning at the beginning, Reverend Gullett, the percentage, 40% or so of population, the adult population, has at least one tattoo. Where would you point people? You've mentioned Al Dayhoff. You have your own ministry. People that might want to find out more about this, learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the easiest thing to do is go to whatever social media platform you're comfortable with and search for Tattoo Story Hunter and watch some of the videos. Watch some of the encounters of people just being asked to share their story. And then if you're curious beyond that, to look for Al's book, Tattoos Telling the Secrets of the Soul.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Anglican minister, Reverend John Gullett. For more information on tattoo ministry, go to evangelizetoday.com. On tomorrow's program, it's Kelly Capick on how inefficiency promotes human flourishing.
And until you start to see time in terms of relationship and values that are not simply efficiency and productivity, things like prayer will be difficult. Things like going for a walk or sitting down for a long meal, all of those things become difficult. And those, I think, are signs that something's gone wrong.
That's tomorrow at this same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.